Welcome back. Thanks for listening and listening to the other ones. I hope it's helping. I hope it's provoking thought. Maybe helping you to question a lot of other things. But anyway, so today I was going to talk about two times I heard... Well, I heard an angel once and Holy Spirit another time. So anyway, before we get started, let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Righto. So, I hear other people talking in their YouTubes and Facebook. I don't listen to them much, but I have been lately, and one preacher I saw preaching, I watched quite a few of his, I watched short videos of him, and he was talking about hearing the voice of God. He was pretty much mocking a lot of Christians, saying that, he was mocking Christians and the way that they perceived to be hearing God. And I understand what he was saying. A lot of Christians go out and say, I heard God tell me to do this, and God told me to do that, and I prayed, and the Holy Spirit told me to do this and do that. But really, it's probably just their own thoughts. And they take out of context quite a lot of hearing. And I did talk about me hearing or perceiving what I hear and know to do things. But the preacher was right about something that they really do hear. You can audibly hear the Holy Spirit and angels, and well, I've met them in person a few times, and the enemy team. And so, back in the Old Testament, prophets and just people that serve God literally heard his voice. And they're talking to them literally, like you're hearing this come out of your phone. And on a couple of occasions I have heard, the only once did I hear the angel say to me, pray. I was in bed one night, about a year after the seal happened and the anointing, and I used to pray a lot when I was younger and read the Bible a lot. Couldn't understand much of it, and I prayed a lot, but these days not so much. Pray for my wife a bit, my children a little bit. When I go to work, I do pray, and mostly in sites and houses when I'm working, renovating people's houses, I worship a lot, and throughout the day, at some point in time, I pray a little bit, and that's about, like, I don't get up in the morning like I used to, and pray before the sun rises, and then when I go to sleep, before I go to sleep, pray. I used to do that. But not now. I probably should get back into that habit. And mostly because, I heard that angel. I was actually in bed asleep. And I heard a voice say, pray. And I sort of just, at first instance, it kind of freaked me out a little bit. And I thought there was a ghost in the room, because there actually is a ghost pointing around, or an angel. And So I started praying. The stupid thing was, I was still lying down with my head on my pillow, praying, half asleep. I didn't get out of bed. And I actually just prayed to try and, you know, have evil leave. I was just praying against evil, because I thought there was like some sort of a ghost or a demon wandering around in the house. The odd thing is, we actually do get little mini poltergeists happening here. Things falling off shelves and doors opening and closing and shit. It's nothing major. It's mostly to let the cat in and out. Like, you can see the cat sitting at the bottom of a door of a stairwell, looking up at someone, meowing at someone to open the door. And so I go over and open the door, well knowing that that angel is standing there. Cat wants to go up the steps. So I just leave most of the doors open now for the cat to wander around and doesn't have to meow, and the angel doesn't have to open the door. But it doesn't do any harm to anyone here. It's been doing that for many years, and so we, at first we thought it might have been something harsh. So I kept going around the house and praying over all the windows and doors and anointing them with oil to try and then just praying over the house, try and clean it out, and anything that was bad left. And now we've just got the angel just keeps wandering around, and every now and again it'll open a door. I should tell you about that first instance. We used to hear a door opening. Doors opening and closing, and we didn't think much of it. And you hear the cat walk in and we think, oh, cat pushed the door open. It wasn't opening or closing, it was just the cat. And then one night, I was half asleep. I was reading the Bible in bed, and I was half asleep. And I actually heard the latch of the door disengage, like you push a door and you hear a latch that would normally be latching the door closed, and you hear it sort of just pop open, spring-loaded latches, right, and just spring open. And did hear the door handle rattle a little before the door opened. I was half asleep. I didn't think much of it. And the cat walks into our room. And that was the first time, and I didn't think much of it. And I thought, oh, it's just called out. I was just thinking someone was going to walk through behind the cat. And I walked through. I thought, oh, this is a bit creepy. And it happened a couple times. You would be asleep, and in your sleep, you can hear doors open and close, right? Most people that are light sleepers can hear this. A lot of heavy sleepers, not so much. Folks on meds, not so much. Folks that drink too much, well, self-explanatory. So in our sleep, we kept hearing this. And wife freaked out one night. And I says to her, well, she wanted me to put like a bolt on the door, so they couldn't be open and closed. I says, well, actually, what if the cat gets locked in here? And my wife goes, well, then we let it out. I says, yeah, but it's in the middle of the night all the time. And so we got used to just leaving the door open a little bit. And at that time, I used to have a PC in the room. We got sick of having the PC in the room because, you know, we didn't sleep much, watching movies and been playing a game. I ended up moving it up into a dining room area, which is at the top of this particular stairwell where the door kept opening and closing all the time. Now, remember, at the time, we didn't realize it was an angel. And so at the time, I kept going around praying over all the windows and doors, trying to cleanse the house. This went on for like months. So I moved this PC up to the top of the stair while I was playing game, and so the angel thought. Angel probably didn't realise my headset wasn't on at the time. And I heard, literally at like 1 or 2 in the morning, I was playing a game and I was having a break, just went and sort of made a coffee and sat down, and I was listening to some conversations in the game, the headset sort of half on, half off. This is just sort of sitting around my neck, because they get hot around your ears and get a little bit sweaty, right? So I just had it sitting around my neck. I was just sort of half pie listening. And I heard the door handle open. And then that was it. The door handle just opened. And I was waiting to hear footsteps coming up the steps. Nothing. I thought, oi, fellas all right down there? So my daughter was in a room at the bottom of the stairwell as well. Her door was closed. And so I went down the steps, and the cat was just sitting there and sort of wandered into my daughter's room door. And her door was sort of just partly open so the cat could come in and out. And I realized, oh, that latch actually sounded like my room door, which is right next to hers. So I wandered down, said, hey, you fellas, did you just open that door? Because remember, at the time, we were getting used to hearing this door open and close in the middle of the night. Just open, mostly. Not close, just open. Let the cat out. And I wandered down, looked in the room, and daughter was fast asleep, and her friend was over, and they'd been watching movies and whatnot, and they were all asleep. Crashed out. And I looked at my wife, and she was fast asleep. I said, hey, hun, did you just open this door? She said, no, she was fast asleep. She didn't even hear me. She was like almost snoring. I heard her snore. And then I realized, oh, man, I literally just heard the door latch completely turn and pull the door. And the cat was sitting at the bottom of the steps, looked up at me and walked in to the room. So then I wandered down the steps, ask, hey, did you? No, they was fast asleep. Look at my wife. No, she's fast asleep. Look back in at my children, and the cat's on the bed. So yeah, I then realized that, hey, Angel keeps opening the door to let the cat out. And so I thought, oh. At first, I sort of freak out a bit, and I go back up and sit at the PC and just look at the screen, humming and harring, thinking, having my coffee, and just thinking, well, actually, in all reality, this has been going on for months, and no matter how many times I prayed over the place, it was still here, it's still helping, and all it's doing is letting the cat out. So if anything, it's a good thing. It's the same door. Every now and again, something gets knocked on the stairwell. I don't know, the angel might be big. His wings might be big. I should probably clear the stairwell. I'm just probably wandering up and down. Just checking on everyone. Be grateful that he's here. And so, yeah. The one and only time I ever heard an angel say pray, and I didn't manage to get out of bed and be reliable and pray. I sort of dozed off. So when I told my wife that, she's helping me get back into the habit of praying more reliably, and like what I used to, how I used to be. And you'd think it'd be the opposite, right? After the seal and anointing and going over all my memories of the Nakash and the angels. But, it's not. I just pray at work. So that was the one very, very clear, audible. And seeing the angel help the cat out all the time, which is really nice. But, the other time, when I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, come home, my love. And yes, it is what it sounds like. I was dying. It was really peaceful. And the odd thing was, I sort of knew 2 weeks prior. Now, back in my other episodes, I'm talking about empathic abilities, knowing things about people and knowing what they've done, knowing their past. And the odd thing is, there's over time, being empathic and like a telepathic connection with Holy Spirit and angels, and I don't know how real that is. Sounds fucking far-fetched. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't be swearing. It sounds far-fetched to me when I say it out loud, but it actually does happen. Knowing what I've got to do from day to day before it happens. It's quite odd. I'll have to just go over those memories sometime and just go over experiences, and as they happen, I'll do a quick podcast on that. But there are people out there that know what I'm talking about. When they get up in the morning and they just know they've got to go to a certain place and just sit around and hello, there's this old person wanders along and then you start talking with them. Turns out they need to get saved and they've been humming and hurrying about finding someone to just listen. Things like that. Anyway, I knew that I was going to die in the garden with my wife, and I knew it 2 weeks prior. And for a couple of days, I was humming, I was thinking, nah, that can't be right, that's not real, And this was after the seal and after the anointing. And around that time, I spent a lot of time fasting and praying and studying the Bible. Fasting, praying, studying the Bible. Evangelizing to people. Back, having my zeal back to what I was in my younger days. I was always evangelizing to folk in my younger days. I've been talking to my sons and daughters about that. About showing them how to do it. And not being afraid of mankind. And just trying to be bold. And get people to church. And so, had my zeal for about a year. Fast, pray, praise, study, evangelize. And I was sort of semi-teaching my daughter at the time for about a year. At work with customers. And just people I bump into. And so... I knew, so the time came when I sort of knew that I was going that I was supposed to be going. And I told my wife after a few days, and she says, "Are you?" One day she just says, "You all right?" She just noticed that something's up with me. And I says to her, "I think I'm going to heaven soon." She goes, "What?" Because she could see that I was like sort of just going around tying up loose ends with some folk that I used to know, and I kept bumping into people that I may have offended in the past. And like it says in Hebrews, seek peace and holiness with all, without which no one will see the Lord. So I was just trying to tie up loose ends with folk. Prayed, and another person come along my path, pray again, another person comes along my path the following day, and I was doing this like on a daily basis. And there were only a few. So I'd sorted that out, and my wife one day just says to me, "You're right." She noticed that I was doing things and I had a temperament and talking with people as if it was coming to my end. And I says, "Well, yeah, actually I am." And I explained to her about meeting Jesus and whatnot and how I've got a covenant to serve in heaven for all eternity. And back when I was 8. And she got angry because we're married and I'm supposed to be here with her. And so I says to her, "Oh, we'll pray about it." And so we did. And I did. And sister got my answer back, and you know, God is God. do whatever he wants. He can change things and move mountains and he can do anything. And so, says to my wife, well, actually, we'll be fine. I'll be here with you. It's fine. And she says, you sure? This is God, man. You can't go arguing with God. If he wants you to go home, back to heaven, then, I don't know, then you better go. Just leave me and the kids. I'm not doing that. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to leave you here. And so I, so obviously things were in motion. And I thought I was going to die in the garden with my wife. And anyway, so we've been talking about it. Most, you know, weeks passed by now. We're still talking about it. And it's hard for her because she thinks I'm going to go. I think I'm going to go. So we're vigilantly praying. And I says to her, I'm pretty sure I don't have to. I'm pretty sure God's going to find a way. He's God. He's going to find a way. There's going to be a way. I'm going to be able to be here with you and children until everything is all sorted. And we all go at some point. And so anyway, we settle on that. There's a day where everything's all nice and peaceful, and we'd forgotten about all that. I think like 2 days had passed and we'd forgotten about it all, and it was just peace, happiness about it all. And so I, my wife's out in the garden. We're going out in the garden planting vegetables. It's what we like to do during the summer, because it's summer at the moment. And late at that time, it was summer, and we were busy planting and getting the weeds out of the gardens and feeding the plants with fertilizers. Well, not fertilizers. We do organic around here. No sprays or chemicals. And so we're busy making tea for the plants. Fertilizing. Feeding them. Comfrey tea. Seaweed tea. Chicken. We got chickens, and so chicken crap. Scrap that up, make a tea out of that too. Feed that to the plants, they love it. So we're busy going around the gardens during the summertime. And so for 2 days, this is what we're doing. And then one morning, my wife's calling out to me. She's all excited about some food that has sprouted. And all these beautiful flowers that have come up. And she says, you know, bring your camera, because I like taking photos. Beautiful flowers and stuff, and we get them printed out, and my wife hangs them on the walls. And well, we haven't done any lately, but at that time she's calling out to me to go down to the garden, into this area that I saw in my dream. And well, she's holding me and I'm dying, and I walk out this back step. So she's down there already calling out to me to come and look at some stuff. I'll go out the back door. As soon as I walk out the back door, as soon as I'm out of the back door of the house, I hear the Holy Spirit say to me quite clearly, come home, my love. And I just sort of stopped and like stunned. And I sort of just turned my head to see my wife down a second flight of stairs. There's two flights of stairs. I go out the back door, there's a flight of stairs, 5 or 6 steps, walk down and then turn left, and then walk down a footpath down another set of 5 or 7, more like 10 steps, down to a lower garden. And I managed to get down the first lot. All I could think about is making it to my wife. And I can feel the Holy Spirit's presence. It's like I could feel heaven. It's like the energy and the goodness of heaven is growing around me. And this world is starting to pass away. I've heard people describe it like that in the past. That's what they've heard. And it's true. It's so true. I could feel this world passing away. So I'm trying to make it. I got down the first lot of stairs, went around sort of a turn, a couple of turns down a bit of footpath, and I'm halfway down the second lot of steps. And I could feel heaven now. In my mind's eye, I could actually see it. And I thought, oh no. And by this time, I actually can't say anything. It's like I'm not able to say anything. I want to call out to my wife, but I sort of can't. It's out of it. It's like and I could feel my body getting, not weak, but unresponsive. It's sort of like starting to like slow down and shut down a bit. It doesn't hurt, but I don't want to stumble. And so I sort of went to the steps. I'm hoping that she'll come over to me. See, in the dream, I was in the garden, and she's holding me, and so I sort of thought, well, I'm going to ask God if I could stay. So I sort of thought, I better sit down. I sat and start praying. And so as soon as I could see heaven in my mind's eye, I could see what looked like Jesus or an angel, or a few angels sort of standing there looking at me. And I could see the waiting room. There's a lot of people there. And but there's like one standing there looking at me, and another one not far behind looking as well. And I thought, oh no. So I stopped halfway down the steps thinking, I wonder if my wife's going to see me. I don't want to upset her or anything. And so I just, but she's going to be able to die, obviously. Be better to be on their arms. But I stopped on the steps, sat down, and started praying. I thought, oh no. My wife and I, we've been over this, and children aren't ready. So I sat down, I started praying, and because I can't say anything verbally, physically, it's like the connection between my mind's eye, my spirit, and heaven was ultimate, and I could hear them. It's like an empath, telepath type connection. I could talk to them telepathically. And so I ask, could I stay a while longer? My wife and children need me. I don't want to leave them at this time. They're not ready for me to go. I need to teach them about you. They've started listening, but they're so far not ready. They're a long way from being ready for me to leave. And my wife needs me. I still need to teach them a lot of things about work, being self-employed, and about tiling, and about you. Mostly you, so they can be saved. And there's so many other people in this town that are not marked that can be saved. Can I stay a while longer? And when things quieten down and they're safe, then can I start my service? And God said yes. I said, okay, yeah. It wasn't like, okay, yeah, it's not like words per se. It's kind of like talking. Oh, how do I explain it? You don't hear words as such. It's like, well, yeah, it's a telepathic connection, but it's not like words. It's sort of half feeling, half love, half emotion, and a knowing of communication. About it. That's probably why there's, and then I realized later, and yeah, anyway, I'll just finish that piece, and they said yes, I could stay. And then all the spirit sort of, Holy Spirit sort of left, and I could sort of move back into this world. I was passing, I was like half gone. Well, no, not half, more like a quarter gone. And because I could put my arms out and brace myself between a wall and there's two walls that were on the left and right of the steps. And so I was like a baby quarter, 30% gone, merging into that world and leaving this world. And so that changed. I went back to, I'm able to like get up and walk, and my wife sort of walked around and saw me there. She said, "Are you all right?" She said, "You look like a ghost. Are you okay?" And I said, I just sort of looked at her and I was just sort of trying to pull myself together, and she came up to me to help me up, and I said, I was just dying. She said, "What?" And I said, "Yeah, I sort of had to pray and God let me stay." And so she said, "Oh, well, come with me. Sit down on that rock." And went back to the gardening. And she just looked at me and smiled and said, "God let you stay." I said, Yeah, I didn't want to walk all the way down to the garden to you and die. So I stopped there and prayed. And asked him if I could stay before I went too far. So he let me stay. And so that's how that happened. But yeah, that which brought me to thinking about the Bible, you know, you're not going to get into heaven if your heart is wrong. And from the heart, so does a man speak. What's another one? A verse. Well, it doesn't say you don't get into heaven if you're evil. It means that. That's, the teachings are there. You know what I mean. If you're a bad person, you know, you've done a lot of murder and you're not repent of not asking for forgiveness, obviously you're not going to go. They're not going to accept you into heaven because your heart's that way. Because it's a telepathic, empathic sort of a place. Then you can, everyone's going to see that that's in a person's heart and know that about a person. So they can't be there. And so it's a place purely of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, look it up. And honesty. So you've got to see right through the lies. It's a telepathic place, empathic place. You can't lie and get away with it. They're not like here. You can open your mouth and just dribble of lies, you know, and then and think you fooled people. And really, the angels are watching. And they're fooling God and the angels. That's what my father used to say. My father used to have the saying, you might be able to, my dad used to have the saying, you might be able to lie to all the people around you, but you can't lie to God. So just don't lie at all. So that's stuck for a long time. I haven't passed that one on to my children. Yeah, I probably should. I haven't needed to. They don't lie. So I like to think we've raised them well. Well, one of them does. And he had to get moved out. Which brings me to that other point of Lucifer and pride and the other angels that followed him. So that emotion, that, because I think it is an emotion, that that action of thought, because thought is an action. You got to commit to a thought. You got to decide to go in a direction of thought and understanding, which makes it a form of action in your mind. So because you went that way, others decided an action of thought moving in a direction, a decision to follow that. So they all got thrown out, which is why here in this world, from the heart so shall a man speaks. So if your heart's not right, you can't go into heaven, because we're not going to speak from our physical mouths up there. Speak from the heart. And when we get there, you know, there's another verse in the Bible that says, what goes into your mouth doesn't defile you, but what comes out of your mouth defiles you. So when you get to heaven, if you're saying the wrong things from your heart, that is defilement. Heart is also an action, because it becomes an action when you're there. And so you've got to get that stuff sorted here before going there. My wife and I had a few conversations lately about, it's probably why God wanted to take me at that time, because my heart was right then. And she's been saying to me to get my heart right. It's easy for you and the girls. My daughters and my wife are just naturally loving people. It's a little bit harder for me when I see something wrong, you get angry. And it's just so beautiful for them to be in a place of where their hearts are right. And my wife kept asking me, how come Nina keeps getting protected by the angels? She doesn't even read the Bible. I says, well, because her heart is that way. She's just naturally kind, giving, loving, sharing, helping person who just naturally knows all the right things to say and do. It's just her heart all around. And so I'm grateful for that. It's just, so yeah, there's some examples. And there's many other verses in the Bible speaking of when Jesus is teaching about how one's heart needs to be, and how you can tell the fruits of a person, because they speak it and they do it, and you look at their life, the way their life is, and they're doing, chasing all the wrong things in order to get to heaven, like storing up treasures on earth, chasing money in this world instead of being a loving person to others and letting your goodness of your heart shine in your life for others to see and follow. Follow that instead of following the pursuit of money. So in this world, we're watching people pursue money and pursue wealth and pursue gold and pursue riches, and people copy it. Like the one third of angels saw Lucifer and followed him and then copied him. It's not too different here, it's just a physical form of it. And you can open your mouth and lie. Up there, not so much. But down here, very easy to do. So for some here, it is easy to have a kind heart and say lovely things and do lovely things and be a lovely, beautiful person, like my daughters. But for others, not so much. And they get tempted by stuff and money, and they chase all that instead of storing up their riches in heaven, like Jesus said to do. Don't store up your riches here where moth and rust decay it, but store up your riches in heaven. Meaning, try to help others and teach others to have salvation, teach others of heaven and God. Help others to get to heaven, and don't just help yourself to get to heaven. And that takes you back to the parable of the talents. Helping others, teaching others, and using your talents to help others and teach others and evangelize and maybe preach and music ministry, maybe praise worship. There's a few talents out there for people to serve God. But anyway, this is the longest one yet, 40 minutes. I'm sort of getting in the habit of making them longer and longer. I'll try not to. So, our Father's Prayer, again, is important. You'll see it in Matthew. Psalms 23 is another very good prayer to learn and memorize. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.